Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
The surname Cusack is synonymous with acting in this country. The family's produced generations of stars of stage and screen, producing front and behind cameras and all over the place. Sirka, or is it Sorica, by the way?
Sorica.
Sorica. It's wrong in both ways. Sorica's Cusack's TV credits include Murdoch Mysteries, This Way Up, we could be here for a while now, Father Brown, Silent Witness, Casualty, Merlin, Mrs Brown's Boys, and Coronation Street. And you're back home here. This is your native Dublin.
It is, most certainly.
You've been out of it for a while, though, haven't you? And this play is called Escaped Alone by Carol Churchill, and in the Everyman Theatre in Cork, the Project Arts Centre in Dublin next month. We'll tell everybody all the details, but welcome, Gia Glitch, agus fáilte.
Gairm agat.
You see, I'm always nervous in front of people with a Gaeilge leafa.
Ah, no, to an Gaeilge Jarama Dagamsa.
Not at all, I'd say you're absolutely amazing at it. Where are you usually based? England is home?
England, yeah.
A beautiful, Kent is a lovely part.
We moved from London about 10 years ago and we're on the south coast and can see France on a clear day.
Can you really?
Yeah, just we're literally overlooking the channel. So it is very beautiful and actually reminds me, I think one of the reasons when we did move and found this house, it was very like where I was brought up in Dorking.
Right, okay, yeah. So those nice...
It's the same kind of feel. Not Dorky as it is now.
Oh, all right.
Dorky as it was then, which was a sleepy little village.
Ah, sleepy village.
Not full of very famous, wealthy people.
Except for you and the family, very well-known people.
We weren't wealthy.
Well-known, sorry, I was...
Oh, well-known, sorry.
Yes, no, but Dorky was just a normal working village, is what you're saying.
It was.
I know. Well, it still is for some people there. They're surrounded...
It's quite changed. There are quite a lot of delicatessen shops.
I'm trying to be friendly too. Yeah. A lot of that's the first sign.
I have nothing against it.
You don't know. That's the first sign of it. When you're not rehearsing, and of course your husband is an English actor.
He is.
Acting right throughout that house as well.
Yes.
When you're not rehearsing and performing, because you're very busy, you've worked all your life.
Yes, so I'm winding down. I'm very old.
You're very fresh-faced looking, but of course all the Cusacks are, aren't they?
Well, I don't
ageless.
Know about that.
What do you do when you're not acting and performing? Is there a...
Oh, you know, I do the same things like everyone else. Like, I'm a mad gardener.
Oh, of course, yeah.
We now have our first grandchild, and that is a big pleasure and enjoyment. And a time-consuming activity also.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
For Granny it is?
Yeah, we they're based in London, but Friday is our day. She's called Brianna, and it's our Brianna day.
Of the Brianna, what happens on a Brianna day?
Oh, we go swimming, we go to museums. She got obsessed, she's only coming up to three, got obsessed by churches. So I took her to St. Paul's. I thought that was a good beginning.
That's a good place to go, yeah, for sure. And are you Nan then?
Robert? No, I'm Sorical because my husband calls me Sorica the Oracle.
Ah, so I see. Very nice.
To Brianna, I'm called Sorical.
You've even changed that convention.
Yes.
Not a nan or a grandma.
No.
There is something you do when you're spending time with your granddaughter. Do you think about yourself as a child or do you think of yourself as a mum? What is that dynamic like?
What I think is I have the time and pleasure to see the world through her eyes, which are totally curious and which I don't remember ever having had that time when my own kids were that age, because you were mad scrabbling about for work, you know, just life. It was all consuming. So it's a fantastic excitement.
It does feel like, I don't know if this is correct, but it does feel like the generation of grandparents now are probably more involved maybe than the previous ones. Is that?
Well, I think they're very necessary. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I don't think if it's a couple, they both need to work just to survive, pay the rent, the mortgage, whatever it is.
So the grandparents are...
Grandparents are kind of very essential.
To rescue things.
Well, to take over a bit.
Yeah.
You know, give them a day off or give them a day when they've got a lot of work on or whatever.
We've got everything backwards now, don't we?
That's what it feels like. However, I'm on the lucky end. So
that's your life at home. What's your view towards Ireland now? Do you miss the place? Do you kind of feel like you half live here, even though you've been gone for a long time?
I think for me, the older I get, the more I realise how deep my roots are here. And even though we speak ostensibly the same language, it's a very different conversation you have over in England. Whereas here, you're immediately into contact with people. It's much easier. That's what I find.
You latch back into all those vowels and...
Well, it's just people are more open and... There doesn't seem, maybe it just isn't beset by the class system in the same way that England is. And also in England, because I'm on the telly or whatever, people think they can't really talk to me as you would to an ordinary person.
What do you get when people come up to you?
All the usual things about the big thing is, what have I seen you in?
And do they ask that rude question?
I promise
even though they recognise you.
So I used to say, I was in that, they say no. I was in, no.
You've to list out.
So now I say, listen, I've been around for about 60 years. You can't have missed me. Yeah. And I can't remember what I was in. And that gets me off the hook.
I'd imagine Father Brown and Casualty, I'd say, is the one that you get. Different generations will see different things, will they?
That's exactly it. And because I was in Casualty for 2-3 years or whatever.
Really? That seems, I thought you were there for much longer.
Oh, did you? Well, yeah. People, I get the bonus of people thinking I'm Brenda Fricker as well. Right. Because she was the lovely one. She was brilliant. She was the lovely, warm Irish one. Yeah. And then I was brought in as a kind of nearly warm Irish one. Yeah. And we have been kind of glued together. So I am often asked where my Oscar is. And then I have to admit that, alas... No Oscar.
Oh, no, you should keep that going.
Yeah.
You should go. It's on the fridge in the house in the Liberties. You know, you steal the stories. Home Alone 2. Oh, that was mad. Was there a production? Because you were there for quite long TV productions, beloved shows. Was there one that you go, oh my God, yes, I loved my time on that?
On television?
Yeah.
Not really.
No?
No. I mean, you know, Father Brown was very nice. Easy, and it started off very well written, I think, and the standard was very good.
It's hard to keep it sustained.
You know, it's not the real challenges are always going to be maybe in film and theatre most.
Are you a theatre gal at heart?
No, I don't believe I am. I find it too terrifying.
Oh, right, okay. And theatre people say they don't find the TV terrifying because they've only the couple of takes to get it right, whereas they can change
yes,
it each night.
There's a lot of pressure, but I started very young. I started in RTE.
Oh, yeah.
As I came in, I thought, oh my God, I started here doing little Irish language programmes called Lower Gael Galin.
Oh.
And I would have been about 17. 15, 16.
Wow.
So that's where I started. So I learned an awful lot doing those kind of very, very basic programmes. But theatre is wonderful and I love going to the theatre. But it's a big challenge being on the other side of the lights. Yeah.
Have you been to the theatre here lately?
I have.
Oh, you have, yeah.
I went to see Love Song the other night. Good. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I'm down to see it.
Very good.
It's in the gate for while, isn't it?
I'm not sure what the dates are. It's lovely and a fantastic cast and well worth a go.
And you have that nice relief of sitting in the audience and not...
Yes.
I have a kind of a panic looking up at them, even though I've only done one theatre thing ever for like a couple of nights, of going, how are they going to do? And you kind of, I have the fear of what if something goes wrong? And
that's very empathetic.
or slightly mad. Tell us about the play you're doing, because this is the scary one, Escaped Alone.
Yes.
Carol Churchill. I don't think we're hugely familiar in Ireland, but she's a huge name in theatre in Britain. And still around, she's in her mid-80s.
She is.
This is something she wrote, I think, in her 70s.
Exactly.
Well, why don't I shut up and let you tell me?
Well, I think that's very pertinent because the four characters, all women, are all, she stipulates, at least 70. Some people are more 70 than others.
They're the notes, okay.
And she's a very particular writer, very brilliant, but it's not an easy one to give you a beginning, middle and end story.
I see.
It's a bit like, rubbing your tummy and tapping your head because you're doing two things at the same time. It's three women on a sunny afternoon in my character's backyard, having a cup of tea, talking about the grandchildren, the children, the relations, the local high street, what they've seen on television. But that is not the whole story, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Because the fourth character kind of invites herself in. And she prompts kind of the underlying tensions that exist.
What they're not talking about.
Correct.
Very good.
I don't know if you experience that, but I certainly have friends. There are some subjects I won't go near for fear it could cause a rupture, I suppose.
Sour the mood.
It sour the mood. But even worse than that, and I think this catalyst prompts the cracks to open up, and you see how the women deal with it. And I think the idea, because Mrs. Jarrett, who comes in, she brings really the weight of the catastrophes that are surrounding us.
Right.
Literally. Climate, tsunamis, wars, inhumanity, the whole lot.
Starvation, the thing we thought we'd solved.
Indeed. Absolutely, it's unbearable.
Decades ago.
Yeah.
And there are quite funny moments, aren't they? It's a dark humour.
Everyone says this, and I'm not going to try and sell it as a rip-roaring comedy. There are. They're just the foibles of people, I suppose. But the women, it does rupture things, but it's how they deal with it. And it doesn't rupture the friendship, because you see that there are always two ways of looking at something. Both might be right. Neither might be right. But the important thing is, for them, the friendship is more important and survives.
They need each other.
Exactly.
Okay, but the apocalypse is unfurling all around. Now, is it kind of slightly set in the future? Are these apocalypses
it's set happening? It's set in no time, really.
Okay.
But the concerns are very, very much those of today.
Okay, so it speaks to us right now.
I hope.
So are you looking forward to it?
I am and I amn't.
Is it hard work every day? What rehearsing will you do today, for instance?
I certainly will. We're having our first stagger through, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So that'll be very revealing. Yeah.
It could be nerve-wracking when you're kind of thinking, how will I get to the, when it's just flowing? But you've been there plenty of times before, you know what you're doing.
This is what we hope.
The messages are coming in already about your sisters, because of course there's lots of Cusack acting sisters, and about your dad. Can I ask about your mum, first of all? Because I had the pleasure of chatting to your brother, Pádraig, who's the producer. He was in the National Theatre for a couple of years, wasn't he, in London? And there was a T.G. Cahir documentary, which was gorgeous. But your mother's story is incredible. Maureen
Keeley, born in Glenties, lived in Derry, but she and her five siblings, there were six of them, the youngest was two, and both her parents died within 1 year, and she would have been about 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they survived. They were so stoical and courageous, I think. I mean, she died very young at the age of 56
terrible,
in 1977. Yeah. And she still kind of is a massive influence in my heart.
Is that right?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, she kept the show on the road, because Cyril, obviously, as he said himself, you know, my dressing room was my home. And I think it was.
That sounds awful too, doesn't it? That's where he was happiest, or was where he was
most comfortable? I think so. But it's really interesting, looking back again from being the age I am, I could see why they met and joined each other, because in a way he was an orphan as well. And he kind of created himself, and he was a creation. And she supported that and kept us all going.
And she had all these talents. Was she brilliant piano? Did she teach piano?
No, she did not. She was an actress.
She was an actress. About
and it. I don't like to say this. What we have on film or tape, she wasn't very good in those. But I think she was wonderful on stage, because she had this kind of innocence and just sweetness and kindness and warmth.
I like that doesn't take away from your view of her, obviously.
Not at all.
Very neutrally.
Yeah, not at all. It's far less important.
All of the interviews that various Cusacks have given about your dad, the euphemism difficult is used. And like, we as Irish people read into it going, oh, he was a horror.
You're far too perspicacious, aren't you?
I'm just reading between the lines everybody else would do.
But he was tricky.
He was tricky, yeah.
He was great when we were tiny, but as soon as we could answer back, that was the end of the road, really.
He liked to be the boss then, I presume.
Oh, for sure. And I think because he had no... he hadn't experienced family life. He kind of wanted to create a rather Victorian arrangement.
I see.
Which he just chose the wrong offspring for that.
His public persona was quite conservative as well, wasn't it? He was part of a kind of an old conservatism that was still, it was losing its
allure.
In the 90s for sure. Which would be his kind of movie heyday that I remember.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, I have to give him credit. With no help, you know, he went off to Hollywood. I mean, he had a bad experience in London and was banned.
Yeah, that was just for being, was he tipsy on stage, which was totally out of character.
Well, they had to bring down the curtain. And he was playing opposite Vivian Leigh, who had just made Gone with the Wind. So he was at the absolute pinnacle of his career, really.
And he was trashed in the press over there.
Well, the thing is, they had to bring down the curtain, and it isn't really. It was St. Patrick's Day, and he'd gone to some, you know, shindig at the embassy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people said, "You can't go on." And he said he could.
Gosh.
And then, as far as I understand, he spoke gobbledygook and they had to bring the curtain down.
Which, again, he was such a professional.
Yeah.
It was just completely... But that was a devastating moment in his life, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he didn't work in England then for decades. But he took himself off to Hollywood and made a very, very impressive film career there.
Since you don't rate your poor mum as an actor...
I hate to say that now.
I know what you mean. He was a phenomenal actor.
Phenomenal, absolutely. I worked with him certainly... Once or twice. But again, tricky.
Another euphemism.
Well, the thing is, he was so good. And I said, we were doing Three Sisters, and I said, Cyril, can you know, at the beginning, Olga has this long thing, really a bit of background for the audience. And I said, can you kind of not be so busy upstage? And he said, well, I'm doing what you would do. I see Rina and I blow her a kiss and I see the flowers on the table and I think, oh, spring is here. I said, yeah.
So it's your line. And he's drawing attention at the back.
Yeah, Chekhov says.
Chekhov.
And I said, no. Chekhov says, he comes in, sits down and reads the paper. That's what Chekhov says. And he said, well, I think it's because I'm in Ireland. People say, oh, that's Cyril up at the back. So I can't help it.
Anne is in touch and says, I had the pleasure of seeing the three Cusack sisters and their father, Cyril, in Chekhov's Three Sisters in the Gate in 1990. This is what you're talking about.
I remember.
You fell out, did you? Did you fall out professionally?
No, we survived. I mean, it was a difficult job for all of us, actually, because, you know, we all had our own lives. Suddenly we were thrown back into the family order.
Oh, yeah. There's a play in that in itself, isn't there? What's happening
backstage? Indeed. Yeah. Not a play I would wish to see.
There are other questions in about. We'd love to hear Circa's opinion on the movie Day of the Jackal, since you are talking about your dad's acting.
Oh, yeah.
Day of the Jackal, 1973. Her dad, Cyril Cusack, had a small but crucial role as the gunsmith for the assassin. Well, he's Control in the film.
No, that's in...
In the Spy Who Came In From the Cult.
Exactly.
That's the one I saw last year. I'm getting confused.
And he's wonderful in that.
He's amazing in that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's kind of terrifying.
Terrifying. Cold, icy, terrifying. I was going to be
dramatic
really...
Dramatic pause there.
I was going to be mean and say typecasting. But that was not true. That was just me being a bit smart, a bit glick.
And Dave the Jackal, he is phenomenal. He's in the scene with Fox. What's his name? Is it...
Which Fox is it? That's another lot full of foxes.
Posh English actor.
Yeah.
What is your advice to aspiring actors? Would you do it again if you could go back again?
I don't know, but I think it's very difficult for actors now because the whole thing has changed. It has become a business. And I hear... doesn't affect me because I don't do social media or any of that.
Oh,
but
yes.
I hear
what you're coming to.
That in America, they want to know how many followers you've got on whatever platform
yeah,
it is.
That's the primary concern.
Exactly. So you really have to sell yourself. And I think because it is a business, it's not... In a lot of television and film, it's not being brought through from creators like writers or producers. It's coming through people who look at ledgers and say,
that's
if
right.
we put so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, we'll have a success and we'll make lots of money.
It's terrible because it doesn't mean that talent will shine through.
Indeed.
It's probably always been the case a little bit, has it? That
the difference was, though, when I was starting, you were noticed by your theatre work and therefore offered television or film.
Oh, I see.
Now, I notice in all the programmes, they put your name and what you've been in on television
on
or
TV,
film.
Yes.
And in fact, you get invited to do things because of your credits.
And the Olivier Awards in the West End in London are increasingly going to existing movie stars who happen to do a production because it gets all the
time. I never watch them and I'm not invited. Shock horror.
The lovies are fighting with each other. Did you have a choice with this profession or because it was in the family, did you just have to do it?
A line of least resistance, I think, in the end. I mean, after my degree, I did... an H-dip or a dip-ed, whatever it's called, and taught. And I liked it a lot. Mm. But I think I would have been wrung out after about 5 years. And I kept being asked to do things, so, yeah.
Another generation would probably recognise you from Snatch, the Guy Ritchie film.
Yes.
Where you play Brad Pitt's mother.
I know. I look in the mirror every day and I said, I can see the resemblance.
You were way too young, way too young. London gangland movie, people remember, it's about bare knuckle boxing. You're playing Brad Pitt. This scene, Stephen Graham is also in this scene, a very young Stephen Graham.
Indeed.
He's incredible in adolescence, people will know.
Oh,
a little listen.
He's always incredible.
The Irish accents in this British film.
Hey man, come on, look at the size of this fella. You look like a batch.
Get out of the way, Mickey. See if the fella's like a drink.
No, I could murder one.
Been no murder done around here, I don't mind telling you.
Cup of tea for the big fella. Come on.
Don't be silly, Mickey. Offer the man a proper drink, right? Is the big fella not coming with us?
No, he's more than a car.
What do you think we are? Thieves?
I know nothing like that, Miss O'Neill. Likes looking after cars.
Good dogs. Do you like dogs?
Thanks.
What?
Yeah, dogs.
Dogs? Do you like dogs?
Oh, dogs. Sure. I like dogs. I like caravans more.
You're very welcome.
You probably haven't heard it for a while, have you? Because you're laughing away listening to that clip.
No, I haven't. But I remember when the kids were small, we were driving somewhere and they were in the back of the car and they were playing a game where they'd say a line from a play, from a film,
yeah.
And the other would guess it.
Oh.
And I said, how do you know all these? And they said, you'll know this one. And they said, dogs, do you like dogs? And I had no idea.
That snatch from 25 years ago.
There you go.
Would you believe now? You have happy memories making that film because you looked
yes,
like you had fun.
Yes, I did. It was like making a home movie.
Really?
That's yes. It was in the most unglamorous, it was a place called Perivale, which is a kind of on the outskirts of London, very grim, very industrial.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were all lads and it was all very laddish,
right.
They treated me a bit like the Dowager Duchess and they were very respectful.
Proper order.
Yes.
It's kind of, I think it's a Midlands accent you're doing there, is it? Thieves.
I think it's a pikey accent, they said.
Is that what they called it, of course? Yes.
Well, no, I
can't. Pejorative that they would have had in the script.
I know. I'd never heard the word pikey, actually.
Yeah, no, it's a slur.
Is it a slur?
But it was in the script at the time and the year 2000 was far, far...
I'd never heard of it. But we did have... I can't remember where the accent was from. Midlands.
I detect in Midlands. It's finely done.
Thank you very
much.
It's
very, very well done. Warmest wishes to Sorica, says this message. We were at Trinity together way, way back.
No.
We were longing to join the Players Theatre, which is full of top talent. Very intimidating. We both formed a pact that we'd go together to join the queue on the day that you could queue up outside to request to join. I thought she would not be nervous because of her family background and took encouragement from that. We both joined. Her talent was obvious. Her reputation soared. She was in so many big productions and the rest, as they say. So
who is this person?
And this is Pauline. Pauline or Pauline? It looks like Pauline.
Pauline. No. I can see her face.
It recalls you in the Glash Menagerie.
Menagerie.
And watched in awe because you were nervous back then. And look at you now.
Always was. Always will be.
Thanks a million for coming in to chat to us.
Yes. And you'll tell everyone.
I'm telling everyone. Sorcha Cusack is in Escaped Alone by Carol Churchill, Everyman Theatre, Cork. That's part of the Cork Midsummer Festival
in the middle
of June. The Project Arts Centre in Dublin at the end of June. HatchTheatreCompany.com.
Is where you'll get all the details. And also, in it, there's no starring, by the way. We're all equal.
You are.
There's Ruth McCabe, Deirdre Monaghan and Anna Healy.
Amazing cast.
We're the Terrible Quartet.
Can't wait. I'll have to go along to that myself, if I can get in, between all the other plays going on.
Brilliant.
Sorcha, Gura Míle Maith.
Gura Maith.